B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you're stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's the final hour on a reentry Monday here, brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Fully loaded program here. Stewart's off, but we got Lanny and B-Rob behind the glass. Big Jim Murray and myself, Felger, here back in the A-hole chair after a week off in our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester, and Maz on location. As promised, back to your phones. Jordan's in Florida. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, how much of a role do you think James White will have in the offense with Cam Newton? Because I think those two could have good chemistry, similar to when Newton had Christian McCaffrey in. I could see James White being a better player with Newton than with Brady. What do you guys think?
Hopefully a big one. I don't know how much better he's going to be with Newton over Brady. I don't know about that.
I wouldn't go that far.
But they need Newton to be more accurate. And if that means he's throwing shorter, if he's using his slot in Edelman or James White out of the backfield more, so be it. Again, just my little jumping off point is that, you know, the year that Newton did complete a high percentage of his passes, almost 68% 2 years ago, it was McCaffrey's first year. They played the Patriots that year, and I just watched a little bit of that game 2 weeks ago when they replayed it, and Newton was hitting not just McCaffrey, but Fozzie Whitaker. He was hitting guys out of the backfield. And if that makes him more efficient, then so be it. James White, I'm all for it, Maz.
Yeah, look, again, this is where the coaching matters. And I think that Belichick and McDaniels can make it easier for him, more so than other coaches can. And that year, I think you said it was McCaffrey's first year, it was his second, and it was the year Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator. But, you know, he was 86% on throws to McCaffrey that year. 86%. I mean, the Patriots will make it easy for him. He'll be better here in terms of the completion percentage.
Jack in Brockton on the NHL's return. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, guys, great show. Just a thought, which has probably been discussed before, and if not, mic up the players. In the hockey, I think that would work well. Not sure about the other sports, but in hockey, having played it, there's so much chatter that happens on the ice, which would, for me, be interesting to listen to.
I just don't think we'll get it, Jack. I don't think we'll get it in real time. We've talked about this a bunch. You're not going to get what you want, which is them.
There's no way. It would be on delay. There would be moments where you would hear some chatter and then silence for, you know, 10 seconds because F-bombs are being thrown around. Like, there's no way you'd get it in real time.
There's too much swearing. There's too much real personal insults that you just, the players just are not going to want out there. Is it possible they, you know, and never mind the Honey Nut Cheerios nonsense with Garnett, like stuff like that. We were talking about wives and, as Murray would say, road beef and things of this nature, ass models, and there's just too much of that goes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Tub. Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you're stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's the final hour on a reentry Monday here, brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Fully loaded program here. Stewart's off, but we got Lanny and B-Rob behind the glass. Big Jim Murray and myself, Felger, here back in the A-hole chair after a week off in our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester, and Maz on location. As promised, back to your phones. Jordan's in Florida. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, how much of a role do you think James White will have in the offense with Cam Newton? Because I think those two could have good chemistry, similar to when Newton had Christian McCaffrey in. I could see James White being a better player with Newton than with Brady. What do you guys think?
Hopefully a big one. I don't know how much better he's going to be with Newton over Brady. I don't know about that.
I wouldn't go that far.
But they need Newton to be more accurate. And if that means he's throwing shorter, if he's using his slot in Edelman or James White out of the backfield more, so be it. Again, just my little jumping off point is that, you know, the year that Newton did complete a high percentage of his passes, almost 68% 2 years ago, it was McCaffrey's first year. they played the Patriots that year, and I just watched a little bit of that game 2 weeks ago when they replayed it, and Newton was hitting not just McCaffrey, but Fozzie Whitaker. He was hitting guys out of the backfield. And if that makes him more efficient, then so be it. James White, I'm all for it, Maz.
Yeah, look, again, this is where the coaching matters. And I think that Belichick and McDaniels can make it easier for him, more so than other coaches can. And that year, I think you said it was McCaffrey's first year, it was his second, and it was the year Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator. But, you know, he was 86% on throws to McCaffrey that year. 86%. I mean, the Patriots will make it easy for him. He'll be better here in terms of the completion percentage.
Jack in Brockton on the NHL's return. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, guys, great show. Just a thought, which has probably been discussed before, and if not, mic up the players. In the hockey, I think that would work well. Not sure about the other sports, but in hockey, having played it, there's so much chatter that happens on the ice, which would, for me, be interesting to listen to.
I just don't think we'll get it, Jack. I don't think we'll get it in real time. We've talked about this a bunch. You're not going to get what you want, which is them.
There's no way. It would be on delay. There would be moments where you would hear some chatter and then silence for, you know, 10 seconds because F-bombs are being thrown around. Like, there's no way you'd get it in real time.
There's too much swearing. There's too much real personal insults that you just, the players just are not going to want out there. Is it possible they, you know, never mind the Honey Nut Cheerios right. nonsense with Garnett, like stuff like that. We were talking about wives and, as Murray would say, road beef and things of this nature, ass models. And there's just too much of that goes on there for us to hear it in real time. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. Can they post-produce it? Can they go to commercial and come back and give us a little snippet of something that's been...
Yeah, I mean, we get that anyway, and I enjoy that. But, yeah, again, in real time, you'll never get the players to sign off on it.
You're not going to get what you want. And if they do go for it, and a player wears a mic, he's not going to talk about the Honey Nut Cheerios and the ass model, and he's not going to swear, and it's going to be boring. It's not going to be worth it. They're going to, you know, he's going to let everybody know that he's mic'd, and they're all going to act accordingly. So you're just not going to get what you want there.
Yeah, it's too bad.
We've got my buddy Rocco in Saugus, who I met a couple weeks ago. Rocco, it was good to meet you. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, bro? Listen, I just want to talk about, you guys were talking about a basketball player a little earlier who had the killer instinct. I want to defend James Harden and Kyrie. I think Kyrie has it. If you remember, they were down 3-1, and he was schooling Steph Curry that series, man. And he obviously hit that big three-pointer to seal the game. And James Harden, I think James Harden gets a bad rep. Excuse me. I think you can win with James Harden. He took the Warriors a couple of series, a couple of years deep, and he lost Chris Paul, if you remember. You know what I mean? So, like, you're going to lose against the Warriors, bro.
Yeah, but what about when he was on OKC and he was a no-show in that finals against the Heat going back like 6-7 years ago?
Harden's a loser, Rocco.
Yeah, come on.
Rocco, thanks for the call, buddy. I wouldn't mess with Rocco. He wanted to fight me once at Hockey Town in Saugus. Dude's built like a fire hydrant.
Oh, is he really?
Oh, yeah. I'd have him on reach, but he's built like a little fire hydrant.
I like Rocco, too, but Harden's a loser.
Loser.
With Kyrie, yeah, he was a killer with Cleveland in that series against Golden State and hit that ridiculous shot. But he also quit against Milwaukee in that series last year here. Like, after one game, it started going tough for him, and he completely quit.
So if you're just picking up the conversation, we talked about Tatum before, and I just don't know if he has the it factor yet. If he's one of those rare NBA guys that doesn't just have the talent on the floor, which he obviously has, but does he have that ability, that killer instinct, the competitiveness, that makeup that it takes to be the number one to lead a team to a championship? I don't know how anyone could know that yet about Jason Tatum. In fact, I think it's so rare in the league. There's only 3, 4, 5 guys like that in the league who have that. You know, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, I think, have it. I put Giannis on the list, even though he's never won. I still don't think he's going to win this year because he's just so raw, but I think his competitiveness and his work ethic and his want is through the roof, and so I'm going to give it to him. But I think there's so few guys in the league that have it. So many great players who I don't think do have it. I don't think Kevin Durant has it. I don't think Anthony Davis has it. I know James Harden doesn't have it. So that's just that conversation. The guys that have it or don't, and you hope one day that Tatum does. I just don't know how you could say that he has it right now. I don't know what indication you would have of that, as he's been golfing all pandemic and is not thrilled to go back and said it point blank that he's not that into going back and playing in this tournament right now. To me, that's a little bit of a warning sign. David in New Bedford on the return of the NHL. Go ahead, David.
Yes, actually, I want to change my topic. I wondered what your thoughts are on the Patrick Mahomes signing last week. Thank you.
Okay, good deal for the Chiefs. I think it's a good deal for the Chiefs. And this is why. Because if he stays Pat Mahomes and is this good, in 4 or 5 years, it'll be a team-friendly deal. It's going to take a little bit to get there. But I think that, and when I say team-friendly, even if he's averaging $40, $45 million a year, that's what I think the going rate's going to be. The going rate's already 35.
Yeah.
And if you look back, 10 years, the quarterbacks were making, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, and now they're making double it. So if you double it from now to 10 years, they're making in the 60 range, 50, 60 range, and you get Pat Mahomes for 45. I think it's a good deal.
Yeah, given what that league cap number will be around then, again, if he stays healthy 4 or 5 years from now, and when you see stiffs like, you know, Goff in L.A. get $110 million guaranteed, he stays healthy. It's better for the team long term.
And to me, the key is the 10 years. And if he sucks in 5 years, if he falls off the map or rips his knee, you cut him. And, some of that's guaranteed, but certainly not the full $500 million. So I think it's good for the team. Go ahead, Mass.
I just want to see how the math shakes out. Because, again, in the short term, look, the deal doesn't even kick in until 3 years from now. He'll play 20 and 21 under the salaries he already had. And in 21, the number's not small. It's like 26 million or something like that. But going after that, the number will go up. And I do wonder if there is a break point with a quarterback taking up too much of your budget. So, look, they can always restructure, and I get it. I just wonder, you know, what happens when he's making 14% of the payroll instead of, you know, 2% of the payroll. Does that compromise him in another area? I think there's some merit to that, Mike. At some point, you can pay a single player too much. Okay, now again, they can restructure. But no team has ever won a Super Bowl with a quarterback making more than 13% of the salary cap.
Oh, is that
basically
right? So, well, you know, he might be worth it. I just like the 10 years for the team. I think that's the term is good for the team. Kyle in Rhode Island on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hi. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to say that I think Cam Newton is a perfect fit because I think that he's going to make Keneal Harry a perfect wide receiver, like a first-round pick. I guarantee you, he's going to be a first-round pick.
Why?
Because like Tom Brady neglected him, and it wasn't fair. But I know, like he didn't even go to OTAs. And
okay, so let me. It's Kyle, thanks for the call. Because Cam Newton's going to invest more in N'Keal Harry than Tom Brady did. Fair enough.
He's going to try.
I mean, yeah, I think there's something to that. But to me, that would have applied to Jared Stidham. That would have applied to Brian Hoyer. That would have applied to anyone. Brady had one foot out the door here the last year, did not believe in the players around him, and I think whoever they had quarterback the team this year was going to be an improvement in that regard. So I think that will be an improvement under Newton, but he's not going to be as accurate as Tom Brady. And even just that workout video he showed over the weekend of him throwing to N'Keal Harry, the balls were not exactly, you know, at his center plate, Maz. They were high and wide, they were low and behind him, and you know, N'Keal Harry was snatching it, but he had to reach out for those balls. And it's like if that's what you're asking N'Keal Harry to do on a regular basis, I don't know how that's going to make him better.
Yeah, I'll take my chances in terms of a new body with N'Keal Harry, and whether it's Stidham, I'll grant you that one. I'm just telling you that Brady didn't care. Brady had decided that's it. I'm not going to waste my time with this guy. It's just not worth it for me. He can't keep up. And no matter who it is now, the gap has shrunk. There's a smaller gap between the quarterback and the receiving core than there was a year ago, even if it is Newton, because he's new to the playbook.
So Joe Murray on the midday, Zolak and Bertrand, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, had an interesting point today, and he watched a lot of N'Keal Harry at, Arizona State. At Arizona State, and said, you know, N'Keal Harry, his quarterback at Arizona State sucked. And I forget the guy's name, but he just chucked it up there, and N'Keal Harry went and got it. And that's how they played offense there at Arizona State. It was just Chuck, and N'Keal Harry was so physical and gifted that he just went and got the ball. And he said, you may get that with Cam Newton, and that may be a return of N'Keal Harry's strength, that he just chuck it up there and he goes and gets it, which is, you know, and it's sort of an ironical way to break it down. Cam Newton's lack of accuracy, his wildness, is what N'Keal Harry's used to. Because his quarterback in college sucked, and he just went and got all these wild balls just chucked up down the field. And so that's going to play to Cam Newton. I don't know. But to me, let's put it this way. The chemistry issue between the quarterback and the receivers better be better than it was last year, because that had sort of fallen off the table other than Brady and Edelman and White, you know, those guys. But I'm talking about the younger players or the newer players. It has to get better. It should get better. It was not great under Tom Brady.
No, look, to me, it can't get much worse than it was, because they weren't clicking. And look, we said this before, there's a chance the offense will be more efficient. Doesn't mean better, means more efficient than it was with Brady, because it was just, they weren't on the same page. There was no, you know, synchronicity between the quarterback and the receivers at all. But let me ask you this. Why does every receiver have to be a route runner? What is DK Metcalf a route runner in Seattle, or is Russell Wilson just chuck the ball up and the kid goes up and makes a play?
So he does, but I mean, what do I like? I like route runners.
Okay, but again, does every guy have to be a route runner?
I would
you
like
got
them
plenty
to
of
be.
Route runner, or would, you you know, is it so bad to have a big guy on the outside who can jump up and take the ball away from someone in one-on-one coverage?
I guess it's not my thing. If you're asking me personally, I take a bunch of tactical route runners. And, you know, so that, because you know me, I'm pretty consistent on this. I don't care about the top off the defense. And I don't need the jump ball guy. Get open, catch the ball, and, you know, move the stakes, and let's, you know, snap it again. Like, well, those are guys I like.
Yeah, but that's when he had Tom Brady as a quarterback. So I would, and all I'm telling you is if you try to turn N'Keal Harry, he's here now. So the pick is what it was. If he's not a route runner, he's not a route runner. You're going to try to force him into it, have him suck and get nothing out of it?
All right, we continue with your thoughts. It's a fair point, Maz. How about all these Cam Newton hype videos? What do they mean? We get to it right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know what makes this different? Is they ain't never seen this camp. They ain't never seen him. Because you want to know how I know? Shit, I ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam, the shit on Cam, tired of being sick of tired Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
You know what I'm saying?
It's over with for him. He ain't the same player. Mm-hmm. Love it. I adore it. I admire it. I want to taste it. I want everything about it. You know what I'm saying? Cause, I ain't never seen that me. You know what I'm saying? I ain't waking up energized after a hard day. Like, shit, what's next? Yeah, loving on my kids more. Got more energy. You know what I'm saying? Chosen to say, daddy. We going to Charlotte? I said, no, son. It's over with. We got another place we're going to. We're going north.
So that's the latest Cam Newton hype video from over the weekend after a run or something or sprints. Spitting all over the sidewalk. It's gross.
Kind of liked it, though. Of all these videos, that was the one that kind of got me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he seems legitimately pissed. And I feel like, you know, if handled correctly, anger, if you bottle it up and you have it help you in whatever it is, the goal you're trying to achieve, and I think that he's out there trying to prove the Panthers wrong for giving up on him. And those that look around the league and say, he's washed up, former number one pick, you don't have it anymore. I think that can be a great motivator. So that one, maybe I'm a sucker for the black and white thing and the spitting, but it seemed real to me. That one, I was like, oh, yeah, no, go get it, Cam.
Look, I'm with you, Murray. This piece, I fully buy in. I think he is motivated and he wants it and he wants to prove people wrong and that whole thing. And when you're that talented and you have that motivation, that can be a powerful thing. And that's the number one reason this thing can work, is that he wants it, he needs it, and he's motivated. You got to give a great player real motivation, look out. So, like, that's real. I'll buy it.
Post-workout, perfect time, man. He had a little flow going. Like, all right, turn it on. Let's go.
I just think it's a mistake by the team to let this carry on the way that the Cam Newton show is carrying on here this offseason. It's not how they do business. It's not how Bill runs his program. It's not how he should run the program. It's not how he wants to run the program. And I'm surprised he's letting it happen. And, Maz, you said earlier that you sort of separate what the team put out versus what Newton's putting out.
I do.
I combine them because they're sort of letting them. Like, you know, they could have made it a condition of his signing here. And that is, Cam, you know, if you come in here, we're going to do it the way we do it with all of our players, which we're not going to put ourselves above the team. And we're going to ignore the noise. And we're not going to overhype ourselves as a player or a team. And we're going to sort of lay low when it comes to the self-promotion. And that's just the way we do it. And so we'd like you to follow suit. And if you don't want to do that, we totally respect it, but we can't sign you. Like, they could easily have done that with him. So I put it together, Maz. I put the team hype with the player hype. And now this is where we differ, because I do believe that if Cam Newton doesn't look right in camp, they can cut him. And they would cut him. And so if you want to say there's really a competition coming this summer, okay, fine. I don't think the competition is between Cam Newton and Jared Stidham. I think the competition is between Cam Newton and himself, or Cam Newton and the Patriots playbook. If Cam Newton plays the way he's capable of and knows the offense, it's his job. There's no competition. It's going to be his. But if he comes in, if he doesn't look right, if, you know, they can't get the offense to fit him, or he can't fit what they want him to do, or the lingering injury thing, right? He's had two rotator cuff surgeries. If he throws the ball differently and he can't be accurate enough, they'll cut him. They'll cut him like they would cut any named player, Reggie Wayne, who they signed for $500,000 guaranteed. It doesn't work out in camp, and they cut him. And I think they will do the exact same thing with Cam Newton if that happens, which makes all this nonsense the last couple of weeks and months a mistake. You're just sort of laying a false narrative, or doing what you're letting a single player take over the narrative of your team, which is not what you do. It's not what you've ever done.
To me, I never said it wasn't a mistake. I'm just telling you that, to me, my only interpretation of it was, if this guy's healthy, he's the quarterback. There's no competition here. Please, let's stop with that. As the only issue is health.
What if he's not accurate?
I have said that all along.
What if he's not accurate?
Okay, well, if he's not accurate because of health, that's one thing. If he's not accurate because it's who he has been his entire career, then I'll tell you what, I'd put even some of that on them. How was he able to complete 68% of his passes in 2018? Find out which throws he can make, because he can make some of them, and figure out a way to use them. They didn't bring him in here to audition for the job. That's my only point. They brought him in here to make sure he's healthy. That's different. But the whole idea of auditioning for the job, oh, please, the Patriots like to promote that bullcrap, that propaganda. We treat every camp the same. You got to come in, you got to win a job, blah, 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 blah. That is a complete load of crap. This guy's here to start. He's here to play as long as he's healthy. Now, if his arm is shot, well, that's something different. I'm assuming he can play. Or let me rephrase. I'm assuming he's healthy. I'm assuming he's 85-90% at least of what he has been physically in the past. If he's not, that's a different conversation.
I think it'd be so Patriots to cut this guy in camp. So them. That would be them. Sign this kind of name player, have us all take our pants off for 2 months about all the possibilities and all the things that he's going to do, and then third week in camp, it's not working out, we had to release him.
It'd be so Bill. I don't know about the team, because I think the team would deal with blowback. I said that the day after this signing was announced. I mean, I feel it more than ever. They would have to put out an MRI or an X-ray along with him being cut. I really believe that, because look what's already happened. And even, you know, that day that it got announced with what the numbers were, Richard Sherman took to social media and said it was embarrassing that he was getting that kind of money. You would have the Patriots being called racist, going with the unproven white quarterback. Sponsors would be contacted, demanding them to end their associations with the team. And then within the locker room, look at the outpouring of support that this move immediately got from guys like James White, the McCourties, Stephon Gilmore, veteran players who matter. You risk alienating them, too, if you cut him without an injury excuse.
This is part of the reason why I think this hype train's a mistake. It's a mistake by the team to release the hype video they did last week and to let Cam Newton turn into the Cam Newton show on his thing. It's a mistake. You're turning the thing into the Cam Newton show. I mean, is he really coming here to compete and to be one of three guys in the room and the best man wins? If that's the case, that's not how Cam Newton's carrying himself. You listen to that thing just now? That didn't sound like a guy.
That's how he's always carried
himself. He's carrying like number one, first overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, the man. That's how he carried himself. That's how he views himself. That's what, you know, he views himself as this brand. Did that sound like a man who's willing to come in and hold a clipboard for Jared Stidham?
No, because he's not going to. You don't bring in a Porsche, even if that Porsche might have some issues, to drive at 65 and 2 and 10 on the steering wheel. You let that Porsche purr, baby.
So here's what Tom Curran wrote last week. Again, this is a massive reentry for me. He says, from indications I've gotten, this will be an open competition. The starter's job is not promised Newton. Importantly, the sense is that Newton understands that. And the belief is that if he's not the starter coming out of camp, he would not pull the ripcord and demand his release so he could latch on elsewhere. So Kern is saying that they've made it clear to him you could lose the job, you could be the number two, and Newton has said, I'm okay with it. Does that video sound like the man who's come here to be a backup?
No, not at all.
But they've let this hype train go down the tracks. You know, all for a guy that, again, I said it earlier, I meant to look at this, has he won three playoff games? For a guy who's got a career losing record in the playoffs, I believe. For a guy who's had three winning seasons out of nine. I mean, again, spectacular talent. But, I mean, when you really stack it up, like, he is unproven. And you know how the team feels about him. Extremely unsure because of the contract they gave him. And so I keep going back to that. Because of the contract, they can cut him in camp. And if you can be cut in camp, you will be cut in camp if you don't stack up. That's just the history of the team.
Yeah, how are they feeling about Jared Stidham?
I think, you know, I don't know. I guess I go back and forth on that.
Yeah, but they don't feel great about him either because they wouldn't have brought Newton in if they did.
Yeah, maybe not. Again,
I just think this is all I'm telling you is this. Okay, I don't know if he's healthy. He's not competing for the job. They can tell him that, and the Patriots can say that publicly all he wants.
Well,
but if Cam Newton comes in and he's healthy, he's going to be the quarterback of the Patriots.
Greg Bedard thinks you're an idiot.
As Murray said earlier, the feeling is mutual.
At the very least, Bedard says, again, if you think a video tells you who will be the Patriots' starting quarterback, turn in your fan card. So turn in your fan card, Maz. He says, look, there's a manner in which Belichick determines roles on this team. And in the 10 years I've been covering this team up close, there has not been one time where I've questioned the decision to start a player. Every player I've seen in camp in the preseason has clearly earned that starting spot. He says there have been times when Belichick has kept players on the roster that didn't belong that season, but that's understandable and happens all the time. Sometimes you have to keep players, especially draft picks who haven't quite earned a spot. Like we see that all the time, and Bill does do that. He doesn't hang on long to some guys, but sometimes there's guys on the roster who may not deserve to be there. But, said Bedard, every single starter, they earn their spot in New England, says Greg Bedard. And if Newton doesn't earn the starting spot in New England, if, say, he continues to throw high passes to N'Keal Harry while Jared Stidham is hitting Harry in stride, if Newton doesn't get the offense enough to keep them out of bad plays but Stidham can, if Stidham or even Brian Hoyer is just flat out better in training camp than Newton, then Newton will not be starting and will be on the bench, says Greg Bedard. When Greg Bedard asked someone in the Patriots organization, as one Patriots source put it, when Greg Bedard asked him about these hype videos, the source said to Greg Bedard, quote, you think Bill gives a crap about any of that? I'm kind of disappointed you even asked. So Bedard says, haven't you paid attention? Albert Haynesworth signed as a free agent, got his butt cut when his effort waned. Alan Branch signed a contract extension, got his butt put on the bench when he clearly wasn't good enough. Malcolm Butler was a Super Bowl hero, and he got his butt sat on the bench in the Super Bowl. And you think Newton is the starter here because of a social media hype video? Then you're no Patriots fan. Turn in your card, he says.
No, I think he's going to be the starting quarterback
because
he's Cam Newton.
Except that in the case of the last except that in the case of Alan Branch and Malcolm Butler, they both had contract disputes with the team. So we know how that's going to go. And you disagree with a contract on a contract with Belichick. Well, you might as well just pull the plug right then and there. That's the end of that one. And Albert Haynesworth, you're talking about one of the great dogs in the history of the league. Woof, woof. What a freaking dog that guy was. This guy has more talent than any of those three guys, although I will say Haynesworth at his peak was pretty damn good. But if he's healthy, oh, please, what are they going to do? They're going to start Jarrett Stidham, who they had so much confidence in that they brought Newton in the first place? It's Cam Newton.
Would not surprise me one bit that they cut Cam Newton in camp. Not that I would, you know, I'd say the odds are that he makes it. Because, again, I think he's highly motivated, highly talented, and that's all going to come together and you'll get a year out of him. And that's what I think is going to happen. But would it surprise me if it went the other way, as it's gone a million times on guys like this, a million at a million different positions? Happens all the time with this team. I don't think Cam Newton is immune to it, which is why I think all these hype videos are a mistake and not like them. So there's that Cam Newton reset right there. We'll get your thoughts on that. And something we have not hit on all day. All day is the Redskins team name and that thing. We'll hit on that as well with your calls, I promise, after Murray's update.
Just a reminder, too, Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Maybe you're looking to refinance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, real quick before we hit on your phones, because we haven't touched on this all day, but finally, the Washington Redskins announced today they are giving up the Redskins name, and we'll come up with new branding and a new name coming up in the next couple of weeks. But apparently some schmuckola in Alexandria, Virginia has already copyrighted all the possibilities, so they got to figure that thing out.
I don't know if I hate that or respect that.
I hate it.
Yeah, that cyber squatting, you know, guys that like own a domain name and then, you know, some company has to go crawling to them. That's really dirty. But then again, get that money. I don't know. This one, like, Redskins kind of deserve it, considering it's Dan Snyder like that. You know, it's a little tough.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Exactly. Anyone else? You know, maybe. Fair point. Dan Snyder, you know, deserves everything that he gets in this. Well, that's the question. Do the Redskins, does the Washington football franchise deserve any credit for doing this, Maz?
No. No. And the reason I say no is it took them way too long. Should have been done a long, long time ago. So, I mean, ultimately, yay. But they should have done it a long, long time ago. And again, the more you look at it, I've said this before, I wasn't offended by it, but I'm not Native American. And so, and beyond that, I'm white. So on top of it, you know, but to me, was it an offensive name? Yes. Objectively speaking, yes, should have been done a long, long time ago. It's nice that it's being done now, but Snyder should have done it ages ago.
Yeah, I mean, the outcry's been there for a while for this one. And this one, I think you can just apply common sense to. Like, you know, the name, put it together, like Redskins, like just change it. Like, we get it. But I think they don't deserve credit because it only changed because it became problematic for them as a business. This really Correct. Only picked up a lot of steam for it to actually be changed because FedEx, Nike, Pepsi all joined together to say, hey, we're pulling out. And you're not getting any more money from us unless you change this. And then when that really starts to affect their bottom line, that's why you ultimately see change. This isn't for the greater good or anything like that.
It almost makes it look worse.
Yeah, in a way it does.
That this is what it took. Right. You know, he didn't do it of his own free will, he being Dan Snyder. He didn't do it of his own volition or his own insight. He did it because people started taking money away from him. And so it's like it became a money play, not an ethical play. And so it's like it almost looks worse. So not only does he not get any credit, I feel like blaming him more, that this is what it took. But, you know, I'm with you, Maz. It's not something that I feel as strongly about as, say, like the Confederate flag and that imagery, which I've talked a lot about. And I just feel the Confederate flag and that thing is far more relevant and far more of an urgent situation, mostly because of intent, right? Like, I think that Confederate flag, the intention there is an openly hostile statement. It is a purposeful symbol that's basically meant to tell people of color, we don't want you. You aren't welcome. We hate you. I mean, that's what the Confederate flag means. And it's in your face. And it's, I think the intent of the Confederate flag is rotten, rotten to the core. The intent of the Redskins and the Indian imagery and team names to me is not as overt. It's, I think someone who flies a Confederate flag is telling people of color, we hate you. I don't think Dan Snyder is telling Native Americans, I hate you. I think he just wants to maintain his brand, and he's just a stubborn a-hole. But it's really more about the brand. This is what our fans grew up with, and this is what we want to maintain. This is a brand we're proud of. But I don't think it's, you know, intentionally hostile to Native Americans like the Confederate imagery is to African Americans. So I feel differently about it. But still, that being said, you look like a good guy if you do the right thing and take the imagery off and change the team name. You look like a good guy. You look like a mensch. You look like you're on the right side of things, unless it takes sponsors pulling money from you to do it. Then it looks like it's just about your money. And so,
cause it is,
it is. So I guess the question is, you know, then we ask what's next.
So this is where I start to be like, okay, so again, that one was common sense like that, you know, just change that one. There was an opinion piece in the Washington Post today about the Texas Rangers team now has to go.
So the Texas Rangers slaughtered Native Americans. I mean, that was a big thing that they did. They went into the Indian territories and slaughtered Indians.
I mean, we have an uncomfortable history here. I mean, like, again, you can make a case that, okay, Washington was bad. Like, everyone's got a bit, kind of a bad history. We do. Like, so, but I don't know. Do most people, does society look at the Texas Rangers and be like, oh, God, no, that one's got to go. Like, what are we doing? Like, that one to me is like,
So I don't change the Rangers either. I'm just telling you that's, you know.
Well, to get rid of Rangers, what about Vikings?
Okay, yeah, they pillaged. There was a fair amount of pillaging going on by the Vikings. Pillage. Yeah.
How about Giants? If I'm a small person, I might like, they might squash me. They scare me. That one's got to go, too.
So there's obviously a line.
Yeah.
Okay, but how about just on the Indian names? The Atlanta Braves said they're not changing the Braves. But they're going to look at the Tomahawk Chop. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, Chicago Blackhawks, etc. So, I mean, just let me tell you where I would go with that. I keep all those, but I do tone down the Indian, you know, Native American imagery. And a lot of teams have already done this. Even these teams have done it. So I think the Braves are right to look at the Tomahawk Chop. I think that's, you know, it just if you want to be a generic Brave or a generic Warrior, that's different than saying we're an Indian warrior, you know. And I think it's okay to keep the name, but tone down the imagery. Like, for example, the Braves. Wasn't that long ago? Remember this is for lack of a better term, that the Indian face logo that they had.
A
Brave with a really like tomahawky kind of haircut, like screaming. This was from the Milwaukee Brave days. They carried it to Atlanta. They had that logo in place until the late 80s. They got rid of that.
It wasn't as cartoonish as Chief Wahoo, but it wasn't great.
You know, it wasn't great. You know, they got rid of it. The Chiefs, you know, I was just looking this up a little bit today. The Chiefs, when they first went to Kansas City, you can Google this right now, look it up, had a logo of Indian in full headdress with a tomahawk, like rampaging across the state of Kansas or something, you know, or Missouri, whatever. It's like, and they,
oh yeah,
you see that? And they did away with that in the late 60s. So it's like, take away that sort of imagery, and I'm fine. You know, like the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors were named after Indian warriors. And if you Google them, I did this again today, in the 60s, they had an Indian headdress as part of their logoing. They got rid of that in the late 60s. And the Golden State Warriors have no sort of Native American connection. They're just warriors to the point where in the 90s, do you remember when they had that logo, like the modern sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but if you Google Golden State Warrior logos in the 90s, they even came up with like this futuristic, modern-looking, generic warrior, not an Indian warrior.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He looked like a robot man or something.
Like RoboCop. I don't know how to describe him. But they're still the Golden State Warriors.
Cyborg of sport.
They keep their team name, but you just sort of, you downplay the you know, exploiting of the Native American imagery, which is, like, to me, the middle ground. Like, that seems pretty fair. The Braves shouldn't have to change their name because they're calling them a Brave. It's a proud thing. But they were right to take that, the imagery of the Brave Warrior off their, you know, logoing in the late 80s, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, there is some common sense here and some middle ground to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't want it to be close to a line of cartoonish or corny, like classy and honorable, like the Blackhawks logo. To me, I would think most fair-thinking society look at that and be like, okay, that's nice. Like, that one, we should leave that one, but you do have people that want that one changed too. But when you get into where it's like, again, the Chief Wahoo thing, like, I mean, that should have been a no-brainer way before they even, you know, got rid of that in the first place a few years ago.
Well, the other thing is, and Mike, we touched on this briefly last week, some of these names are tribal names, right? They're not derogatory terms.
That's right.
So to me, there's a big difference there. Like, one of the ones I brought up, and I think they got rid of it, was one of the Illinois colleges, I don't know if it was South Illinois, used to be the Fighting Sioux.
Yeah.
Okay. S-I-O-U-X, right? For in recognition of the Sioux Indians. So, you know, I don't know, are there teams out there named the Apaches? Or I to me, those are just named after tribes. I don't think they're derogatory terms. Again, someone in Native American history might be able to correct me on that.
Well, Illinois is still the Illini.
Okay, so I was going to say, I think that, to me, those aren't, I don't view those as derogatory. If someone tells me that they are meant in a derogatory fashion, I'll defer. I'm not, I'm hardly a historian on Native American history. But those, to me, Chiefs, Braves, feel like, again, as you said, more generic terms. Redskins, pretty clear.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Redskin is pretty clear.
And it's...
So, and you know what? Snyder... There's a guy who should be looking to rebrand the franchise after what he's done to it.
So there's that thought. We finally got to it today. So that's going to put a wrapper on everything from a re-entry Monday. The final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Nope.
Well, one of the topics of discussion on today's Reentry Monday was the pumped-in crowd noise in sports, which, for better or worse, is part of the new normal.
The emails asked for clapping "Let's go" cheers that you'd hear at home games. Also, we want the cup chants that you hear in some stadiums and the normal sound that and cheers that go on when a goal is scored. And the email said to the season ticket holders for this: for the first 3 seconds, you should pretend that you are anticipating the goal and then explode into your celebration. Those were the instructions on the email, asking for then 30 seconds for cheering on that goal. So you're supposed to reenact.
I got a wicked important email. You got to give me 5 minutes upstairs. How many homes did that happen in?
But seriously, it's like, so they hold for 3 seconds and then lose it for 30. It's like... Yeah. That's so corny. So bad.
You got to write. You know, we got to build it up here. Hold on. Mashi, come on, Mashi. I also made my case as to why the pumped-in crowd noise will be necessary in Major League Baseball. I don't think I'll need it at all for hockey. I'll be okay there. It's going to be jarring with football, and I will certainly demand it for baseball.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I was pleasantly surprised with
it. There goes the hit. Hold on. This is how it's going to be. And pitch to Benintendi. He's at first. Next pitch.
Crickets.
Benintendi to second. And runners on first and second. Like, you're going to need some. I need something there. You're going to have some background noise or something.
Low ball, too.
Yeah. Why I didn't do it the way it actually should have been done with the island.
It's going to be a little more noticeable this year, Murray.
All you can hear is cricket. Being a real re-entry Monday, as Mike was off all last week, things can sometimes be a bumpy on a technical aspect, as proven here.
Oh, this is good.
Mike trying to do a live read, and Mass's Mike was still on.
Hey, it's Felger here for East Coast Metal Roofing. If you need a new roof for your home or business, now is the time to call East Coast Metal Roofing. Why? Because it's their Beat the Heat summer promotion, and they are offering 10% off on your complete roof replacement. And
Billy Duncan at 4:30.
And they're offering 100%, hi Mass, 100% full financing. I'm glad that went out over the air.
There's still some weird technical glitches with what's going on with that mic at home with you, Mike.
Maz, we hear every little crinkle.
There was one, because I don't know if it goes on the air, but in our headphones, and I know you heard it too, because I heard you try to talk to Billy, it sounded like you were on vinyl. Like there was like a crackle going on
too.
For like 10, 20 seconds. Yeah.
Static.
Well, that has nothing to do with me. That's back there. I'm not doing anything wrong. Stop with that bull crap.
Playing around with all your gadgets back there.
I got no gadgets here. All I did was eat a couple of snacks during one of the breaks.
The power surge because he's controlling the apps. The temperature in this studio from home.
Never mind the snacking.
Well, the snacking I do, but I only do it during breaks.
It's always this constantly just like this.
Just a din of
chip bags.
Moving around and opening and up cans.
And there's like... You notice how he, like, you can always hear his paper, too? Like, Billy, cheer me up a little bit. Whenever he, folds his page over for a read, it's like you hear every page moving.
Oh, yeah, because your paper doesn't make any noise.
There's just constant noise with Maz back there.
It's a highly sensitive mic. We're talking to elite piece of equipment.
All right. Anyway, here comes Jones and Arcanders. I don't see anyone out there. Who's in?
I think it's Jones. Jones was off all last week, too.
Okay, so he's got some pent-up negativity for you like you wouldn't believe.
Great.
So I don't know what it is, but it ain't going to be pleasant. That's my only guarantee. Otherwise, good to be back. Maz, Murray, Billy Lanny, thanks for all your help today.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Felger Maz will be returning tomorrow here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, brought to you by our friends, as always, at DraftKings. Not sure what we'll have tomorrow, but it'll be pretty good, and we'll catch you tomorrow at 2 p.m. We will see you then.
See you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.